Then, on your other career, you became Rear Admiral.
Yes. After I became Rear Admiral, I stayed in the Navy a little longer. We had a fire in the agency in Oklahoma City office in 1974. Cut down on my reserve time a little bit. I would have maybe been in the Navy a year or two longer, but that took a lot of time out of my life, and I got out a little earlier than I might have.
In 79, then, Marvin McQueen had built the Tulsa office to a big position, and so then you became Ackerman McQueen.
Correct. We became Ackerman McQueen.
And business was rolling along and was good. And can you remember the names of people?
In Oklahoma City, top creative people in addition to Angus, a fellow named Mark Keller, who was talented both as an artist and as a musician, and now makes a living in Hollywood, writing big time music, that kind of thing. Gail Daniels, an artist here. Don Bowen was an artist over here. Don Spencer, two most creative writers were Jeanette Elliott and Tim Oden. Over in Tulsa, there was Tom Toomey. I mentioned Cecil Bales earlier.
Tragedy hit the agency in 1984.
Marvin's death. Yeah, untimely death. One-man automobile accident in Superior, Wisconsin. He was on the board of directors of the University of Wisconsin at Superior and was up there for a regular board meeting and their dinner. When he left the meeting to drive back to the hotel, there was a driveway into the hotel, and right before he got to that driveway, there was another driveway. He mistook that driveway for the one the hotel went right into Lake Superior. And it submerged up to I think the next morning there was 10 inches of roof in the rear of the car sticking out. Couldn't get out, didn't have anything to break the windows with, couldn't open the doors, just asphyxiation. Terrible thing, just terrible. Marvin was born in 1913, so that would have made him 71.
What kind of person was Marvin McQueen?
He was a delightful guy. He was a hard-nosed guy, let me say that. He liked to tell me about his early days in the agency business in Darcy. He said, there were six or eight of us young accounting executives, and we were all trying to get something on the other guy. He said, we were mean, we were tough. We would take credit for anything we could take credit for. We'd put blame where we could put blame. And he said, I want to say I was kind of like a barracuda. Well, he was. You have to get to know Marvin, but he had a great sense of humor. Great guy to smoke cigars with and have a glass of scotch. Knew the business. We were a pretty good team. We ran this agency like a three-headed monster from the time we brought Angus in until Marvin died, then Angus and I. But Marvin and I, if he were sitting here right now, we would say about Angus that, well, the three of us ran the agency. Angus really ran the agency almost from the time he came. He is a brilliant man. He is a genius. He is a creative Superman. But the three of us, every Saturday, we would sit down with our cigars and our cigarettes and smoke the day away while we ran the agency. We always ran the shops as though we were all together in one building. When we opened in Dallas and opened in Washington, D.C., it was all still like one central agency. I don't think, generally speaking, that an agency grows very much if they just start out with, let's say, a handful of college graduates out of the best school in the world. You got to bring in some people with some experience or the accounts that you really want don't want to trust you with unless you can show them something you've already done. But our beginning here with Angus was the Kona Boot Company.
And that grew to be a big account. You actually changed the image of that.
Yeah, one thing that wasn't mentioned in connection with the growth of the agency or moving into Tulsa is I did buy a small agency in the 60s called Drago Advertising. In the early 70s, I brought in the remnants of an agency here called Humphrey Williams & Gibson.